You're in a good place now. Relax. Breathe. Smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and entertainment, where relevant topics are discussed and where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess, live on 660 The Answer.
You know what I'm craving? A little perspective.
That's it? I'd like some fresh, clear, well-seasoned perspective. Can you suggest a good wine to go with that?
With, what, sir?
Perspective. Fresh out, I take it.
I am,
Very well. Since you're all out of perspective and no one else seems to have it in this bloody town, I'll make you a deal. You provide the food, I'll provide the perspective. Which would go nicely with...
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's episode of Perspectives, we're actually going to explore how to achieve synchronicity in your life. You know, I think the best thing to do to begin to understand how to achieve synchronicity is to know what exactly is synchronicity. You know, synchronicity, say that 5,000 times, is the experience of two or more events as meaningfully related, where they are unlikely to be casually related. What that means is that two or three things or so many things happen together that actually have structure. They're related in a meaningful way, you know, to go to some sort of direction. It's not just casual relation. It's not just happenstance. It's not just coincidence. It's quite the opposite. And, you know, I think when we try to realize synchronicity and we try to adapt synchronicity and have it in our life, there's things that are imperative. There's options that we have to follow. There's aspects of life that we actually have to gel with. And unless we gel with those things, we're not ever going to have synchronicity. We're always going to be off. We're always going to be having to push through, having to fight our way to get what we want, all this opposition, and in the end, still not finding exactly what we want. Good evening, Bill. How are you doing?
I'm wonderful. About yourself?
I'm doing great.
Good, good. Synchronicity.
Yeah.
That's a word I don't use in my everyday vocabulary.
We're going to use it all the time now.
I think
it's a great thing. Yeah, because,
okay,
you know, I wasn't using it for a long time either. But, you know, I started studying recently Carl Jung and a lot of his philosophies, and it's based, he came up with the concept of synchronicity. And I think it's really interesting because I think once you get on target with your life, things start being this direction. They start going that way. Like, it seems almost like a geometric pattern.
So it's not referring to synchronized swimming.
No.
Okay.
That's kind of cool stuff, though.
I suppose so. It's kind of like ballet in water.
Yeah, I like the uniforms. Or are they outfits?
I think they're more outfits.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. Like, it's kind of like, what do you call it? Figure skating, but in water.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. That's a good way to put it. I'm not much of a fan of figure skating anyway. So I think I like this topic better. Synchronicity.
Okay. Yeah, figure skating, not so much.
Right.
And for everybody that loves it out there, God bless you. Okay,
right.
So let's talk about synchronicity of thought. So let's talk about meaning. You must have your thoughts. You have to have your thoughts aligned. You have to have it structured. And your thoughts have to be leading to the same direction. So think about this. In order to have synchronicity in your life, you have to have synchronicity of thought. Okay, and so that's really easy to figure out. That means that you have your thoughts aligned, you have it structured, and you're heading with your thoughts in the same direction. So let's start off with, what do you want to do in your life? You know, what do you want out of life? I think that's paramount. I think that if you figure out that and you have at least that in your mindset of where you want to go, what do you want to do? That's kind of the bedrock formulation of how to create synchronicity for the things that you dream about.
Oh, is that all there is to it? This is not going to be a long show.
Yeah. Okay, we're done.
It's that simple. Just forget what you want to do. Next.
Next. Okay. Yeah, that was a great show. I like that show.
Yes, I know.
I hope everybody got something out of it that was listening.
Right.
Perfect. Yeah. Okay. Well, no, it is the bedrock, though. So let's continue with that. So it's the foundation of all that is holy, right? All that's holy. What do you want out of life? What do you want out of it? Okay. So let's say, Bill, what do you want out of life? I'm going to put you in the hot seat right now.
Oh, let's see. I want contentment out of life. And, you know,
what
happiness.
Do you mean by contentment?
You know,
happiness?
Yeah, I mean, I want a fulfillment in my professional life. I want fulfillment in my personal life. Fulfillment, something meaningful. I'm not necessarily pursuing monetary richness, although I define by contentment, fulfillment is I want to be comfortable.
Comfortable. That's good.
Where I don't necessarily have to live paycheck to paycheck.
So you're saying you have a plan, basically. Yes. So you have a concept, you have a plan. And I think that's inherent because I think a lot of people go willy-nilly with no plan. They don't know what they want. I mean, I think we both have friends like that. And I think we might have both been like that at one point in time.
Me, definitely. I mean, I would say up until I was just about 35 years old, that was just like, I'll worry about that tomorrow.
And I think a lot of people are that, too. It's like, let's just put that off till tomorrow. It's no big deal.
Well, and actually, I just thought of something. I mean, I'm a notorious procrastinator.
No way.
Whatever can be put off till tomorrow, then I will definitely
put up
do
to
that.
Next week.
Yeah. So those of us who are procrastinators, maybe do we have trouble with synchronicity?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and you know what? Procrastination causes that a lot because synchronicity is about, we'll talk more about this, but it's about kind of jumping and doing the exact thing that you need to do at the exact time. So like earlier, like just a little while ago, earlier this evening, we were having an issue that we had to deal with about studio stuff.
Right.
And remember, I was thinking, okay, well...
The smell
was not good. We were having to go to upper management and deal with some stuff. And as we're dealing with, upstairs, we'll say.
Right.
We went upstairs and we had to talk with some people. And I wanted to put it off. And you and I both wanted to put it off. We thought about putting it off. And... because you were thinking, if it doesn't go right or if they say the smell is going to be stuck here, then we're going to have to deal with this. And on top of that, you're going to be angry about that. And there's a point there. But yet I thought, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go up there. And so I went up there and I said what I had to say. But it got mostly straightened out.
I was holding my breath the entire time, by the way.
Were you?
Yeah.
Yeah, because the smell smelled so bad.
Well, yeah, that too.
It was and it all got taken care of. And I think that's what synchronicity is about, is that when you kind of do what you need to do in a timely fashion, you have synchronicity. When we wait, we put things off. And a lot of times when we're waiting on something, we either wait because, yes, we're procrastinating. But why are we procrastinating? A lot of times. Sometimes it's because we're scared of the outcome, or we don't know if the outcome is going to come our way, or we're scared of following through to some degree because we think it's not going to work out for us.
I think in my specific case, it's more fear of the unknown. So option number two. I mean, it's if I procrastinate, it's because I don't know how it's going to come out, and I'd rather deal with the devil I know rather than the devil I don't.
I see what you're saying. And a lot of times, though, in our minds, we don't think a thought through. Like, think about this. So you and I, let's say, like, you have an issue to deal with, and you're thinking about it. You're thinking, okay, I'm going to have this conversation with so-and-so, right?
Yeah.
But we don't really think about the conversation. We just think, literally, our mind stops right there, and we go, oh, gosh, I don't want to deal with this. And I do that a lot, too. I don't want to think about this. I don't want to deal with this. Instead of us going through the formulation and actually realizing what are the possibilities, we'd probably more than likely not procrastinate. But we're scared of the unknown, like you said.
Yes. Yeah, I think that fits me to a T. And I actually use the phrase that you just did. I don't want to deal with this. And I'm all whiny and, I was like, I don't want to deal with this, because what if this happens? What if that happens? And I'll think about that tomorrow. And then tomorrow gets here and, there's a song, tomorrow never comes, it always is, sneaking up on you.
And so. It's always the next day is the tomorrow.
Exactly.
But tomorrow was always the day you're in too. So you're like, oh gosh, not again,
So I always have to make myself, I will talk to myself and make myself say, okay, you are dealing with this today.
No questions,
heck or high water.
No questions, mister.
That's right.
Do you call yourself William when you do that?
I call myself words I can't repeat on this station.
Okay, I got you.
But I will do that because it gets my attention. So, all right, blankety blank.
Blank, 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 yes. Blank, blank. I can add some words for you, too, if you want me to.
You probably could, actually. I don't doubt that.
So think about it. So it's all about what do you want out of life? What are your dreams and goals in life? And I think those are essential because if I had no idea what I wanted to do, if I woke up every day and was like, I don't know what I want to do. I don't know if I want to be on the radio today. I don't know if I want to be on the radio today. You know what? I probably wouldn't get to the studio. Mm. I probably wouldn't take care of what I need to take care of. And the show would be awful, okay? Because I don't know if I want to do it or not. But, you know, I know what I want to do. And I know that I love doing this. And I know that we're good at this. And this is a great show. Yep. So this is great. But it wouldn't be a great show if we didn't believe in it.
That's the most important
thing. And if we didn't work on it, you know? And I think that's the key is that, you know, synchronicity is thought. There's another component that we're going to talk about later on in the show, and it's about synchronicity of action. Because you can think all you want about something. You can believe all you want about something, but if your actions don't assimilate and aren't, you know, they don't synchronize with your thought, then you really, it's like yin and yang. You're on one side and that's on the other, and you're never going to achieve your goals that way. And you're never going to achieve synchronicity. And synchronicity should be one of your main goals in life, because that means everything's coming together. And like all the stuff you want to work on is coming together. Whether it's you want to be happy in marriage, you want to be happy in work, whether you want to be comfortable, whether you want to have this or that, that's all comes together with synchronicity. And I think it comes best that way. And it's the easiest to do, because it's not about opposition. It's not about fighting. It's about working and putting things right in the exact spot, not procrastinating, and basically, you know, putting everything in alignment. And I think that's key, you know, to what we want in our life. So when we return, we're going to talk more about synchronicity of thought, laws of attraction, and also universal laws, as well as how you can actually fully succeed and attain the synchronicity. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. A glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And if you're just tuning in tonight, we have been discussing and we're exploring what synchronicity is, based on the fact of how to achieve synchronicity for your life. You know, I think synchronicity is an interesting thing, because it's like the culmination of all these meaningful events coming together to create a successful, enlightening situation. And I think in order to have synchronicity in your life, meaning that you have everything kind of balances, things flow, stuff goes to the right direction, it's meaningful in different levels and facets of your life. And I think the way to really achieve synchronicity is through your thought. I think thought is so important, because if you think a certain way, you know, it depends on how you think. So if you think a certain way in a negative fashion, you're never going to achieve synchronicity. You're never going to achieve your goals if you don't know what your goals are. So right before we went to break, we were talking about what are your dreams? What are your goals? What's important to you in life? And Bill was talking about, you know, what he wanted, you know, how he wanted to have this, this, and that. And it makes clear sense, because when you know what you want, whatever it is, you can work toward that. You can strive toward that. You can believe toward that. But if you don't have a clue what you want to do, that's a problem, because you're going to be going in 15 different directions and something might pan out, but most of the time, you're just going to be running in a circle.
Yeah, that's the key part there, running in circles. I'm going to shock you, Ashley. Hold on to your seat. Are you ready? What you were just saying just before we went to break, it brought to mind a scene from a movie.
Really?
I know. And the reason that's going to shock you is because you know me.
You don't know any movies.
I don't know any movies. I don't go watch.
Just movies. A little while ago, I asked you about a movie, and you're like, I've never heard of that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, for all our listeners, it actually drives me crazy, you know, because whenever we talk, hey, you know, did you see this movie, that movie? Ashley, no, I didn't see the movie, okay? You know?
I'm going to get a recording of that.
I
didn't see it.
It puts me in the minority of society. I understand that. We all revolve around movies and television shows and whatnot. I just don't watch movies and a lot of TV. I just don't, you know? So, but anyway, this is actually movie I saw, okay? The Karate Kid.
Ooh, watch on.
Which is an older movie, I understand that. But you remember towards the end of the movie where he got hurt and, you know, Mr. Miyagi, you know, must have balance, Daniel-san.
Ooh.
You know, and, yeah. You know, Daniel's saying, look, you know, I got to go back out there because then I can't have balance unless, you know. So is another way to put this, you know, you want to have balance.
Yes.
In your life.
Balance. Yes.
Okay.
You're exactly right. In that situation, I haven't seen that movie in a long time, but I know it's about outside power, force, but it's also about mind. And karate is a big mind sport.
Right.
Like really any sport, it really is. And if you have the uniform of your mind and your actions working together, and later on we are going to talk about action, but that's what makes everything work. That's what makes synchronicity. So let's, I agree with you, Daniel-san.
So you have to wax on, wax off.
Oh, yes.
Sand the floor, you know, then you'll have balance and synchronicity.
I love that. Yes, cool. Exactly. And we're going to talk more about
I actually came up with a movie clip. Yay.
My goodness. How old is that movie, though? 1981? 1982?
Not that old. 84, 85 or something.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's not bad. That's yes, Grasshopper. So let's talk about what do you believe in, you know, like spiritual, religious, philosophical alignment, morals, ethics, laws, laws of movement, universal laws. So let's begin with this. If you believe in a certain religion or a spirituality type, component, if you believe in something and you realize it and you know it, that's awesome. If you're conflicted though, however, and I think there's a lot of people out there that their parents taught them something or they were raised by a certain religion or raised with a certain belief process, right? And then they're conflicted by what is what. And I think that conflict can cause problems with synchronicity as well. So if you have a spiritual, religious, or philosophical belief that you can stand behind and you've actually tweaked and worked with throughout the years of your life, that's awesome. But if you're just standing behind a doctrine based on whatever you were taught or based on what you're supposed to believe because you were raised this way in this home, then you're going to have a conflict in your mind.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, years ago, I was dating this girl, and she was real heavily in her church, but you know, and that's a good thing. That's what I was looking for. But the problem was she didn't give it a lot of thought, cause I like rock music. Okay.
Okay.
And hard rock music, actually. And she just jumped down my throat.
Oh, that's sinner.
That's devil's music. They sing about worshiping the devil and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, how do you know? Have you ever listened to it? And we kind of argued back and forth. And she finally said, look, all I know is what I was taught from the pulpit. This is wrong. Now, here's the part that I got her on, you know, the hypocritical part. She was way into hip hop and rap.
Oh.
Need I say more now? I also like hip hop and rap, okay?
It's like shooting fish in a barrel right there.
But it's, so, God bless everybody who loves hip hop and rap. So do I. But, let's just say that, it's not, the cleanest subject material.
The pulpit probably doesn't agree with the rap either.
Right. So, but she was okay with her, and she had kids, so she was okay with her kids, listening to, women being referred to as bitches and hoes and bling and, all the other sexual stuff that, a lot of hip hop has. Rock music, that's devil's music.
You don't think that she also just did that because she didn't like rock music? Like, that wasn't just a ploy? Like, I'll like my other music, so I'm going to tell them that
she didn't like rock music. And, of course,
blame it on God.
That was a major thing for me because it was like,
blame it on the church, blame it on God because rock music is bad.
Right.
It's bad rap music's okay.
But that's the thing that always stuck out to me. Well, all I know is what I was taught from the pulpit. Well,
that's interesting.
And actually, I'm a Christian. I do my best to live out the principles that are taught in the Christian religion. Okay. And from my reading of it anyway, Jesus's ministry was all about moral living.
True.
And morals I think we kind of use morals and ethics interchangeably.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that's necessarily correct.
I think that morals, okay, I think that ethics are the way that we live our life. I think it's like ethically, what are you doing? How do you feel? What do you put forth? I think morals, I don't know.
I think morals have that spiritual dimension, because you don't have to be religious. You don't have to believe in a deity or deities to be ethical. All right. Do the right thing, treat people right. I mean, that's just kind of
But I don't believe that you have to believe in deities or anything to have morals either.
But to me though, morals have a spiritual dimension to it. And you're doing the right thing because there's a afterlife waiting for you.
My philosophy about this, and this is another synchronicity thing, is that I think in order to really have synchronicity in your life, you just have to do the right thing and you inherently know what the right thing is. I think that we all know when we do the wrong thing.
Yes.
And it might not be in any book, it might not be in any doctrine, but when we go out of our way to do the wrong thing, I feel it.
Or,
and it's not a guilt factor so much as it's, I'm not in synchronized. Right. How do you say it?
Synchronized.
I'm not synchronized. Yeah. Like, I'm not in the flow. And I think when you go out of the flow, you feel it. And there's a lot of people that are trying to take you out of the flow because they're out of the flow. It's not that they're after you. It's just that they need another person to hang out with. And if you're willing to hang out with them and go out of the flow, then you're out of the flow.
Actually, the number one person who tries to take you out of all of that, yourself.
Oh, all the time.
Because it's not just other people trying to take you out of it, but how about all the things we do to justify the things we know are either wrong or against whatever belief system that we have? I know that, for example, if somebody drops a quarter in the convenience store, you know that the right thing to do is give it back to that person. But have you ever said, it's just a quarter, he won't miss it?
Yeah, anytime I've ever done that, though, it's like I lose more than a quarter.
That's true.
You lose like $20, it's like boom.
Instant karma.
Instant karma. I think another thing, too, like you were talking about the flow. So, like, when you're working to stay in the flow or you're working to have this life that has synchronicity, you're going to see a lot of people outside of the flow. And some of those people are very good friends. Some of those people you've been friends with for years.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens, though, is they don't try to pull you out of the flow. What happens is you hang out with them one day, or you talk to them one day or whatever, and you, like Bill was saying, you can take yourself out of the flow because nobody's sitting there holding your arms behind your back with a gun to your head saying, you can't follow through with this today. You can't stay in the flow. You got to come out here and do this instead of, follow your goals. And I think that's so important. And I think that's part of what we're going to be talking about here when we come back about alignment. And when you're in full alignment, that's what it's all about. When you're aligned and body, mind, and your thought processes. So stay tuned because guess what? Perspectives with your host, Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess on 660 The Answer.
This is how you see things. This is amazing.
It's a gigantic pain in the ass, but it has its moments.
Wait, this game doesn't happen till October.
Well, it's always October and November and March. So many futures, and they're all real. Just don't know which one will coalesce. Until then, they're all happening. Like this one, it's my favorite moment in human history.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And if you're just tuning in tonight, and I hope you're not, we've been talking about how you can achieve synchronicity within your life. You know, I think we've been talking about what synchronicity is, and that's been the experience of two or more events that are meaningfully related. And that comes through having synchronicity of thought, and also synchronicity of action. You know, earlier we were talking about synchronicity of thought and how your meaning and your thoughts have to be aligned and structured, and you have to head toward the same direction. I mean, we have to know what our goals are in life. We have to know what we want to do in life and what our dreams are. And once we figure that out, we have to also then align what our beliefs are. So if you have religious or spiritual or philosophical beliefs, those have to be in alignment. You can't be fighting those. You can't just be accepting a doctrine based on the fact of what your family taught you or what you were told that you have to believe in. It needs to be something that you have figured out on your own, past your family, past all that stuff that you honestly believe in and that you respect and that goes along with who you are. Because if you're trying to be something you're not in your mind, that's a big problem right there. That's a red flag because nothing's going to come into an alignment for you. It's just the way it is because you're basically fighting yourself. So you have like an enemy up there going, nope, 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 wrong. I don't agree. And so if your basis of your whole thought process is not in alignment with who you are, you got to figure that out. Start figuring out what you believe in. And if you have to, start from scratch and start all over again, because it doesn't matter. If you were brought up in a certain church, that's great. That's awesome. But if you don't believe in what the church says, you need to figure out what you want to do. And sometimes that means starting in stage one and figuring out what you're attracted to and what makes you feel happy and what makes you also go, okay, this resonates with my inner being. And I think that's wholeheartedly what you need to do. So let's talk about the whole concept of laws. I think that laws in general can help us with synchronicity. Like you have like state, federal, those kind of laws where, okay, yeah, you don't want to go out and murder anybody. You know, you gotta follow certain laws and regulations and stuff. But what about those universal laws? Laws of movement. And I think some people were, I don't say hoodwinked, I don't want to say the word hoodwinked because I love that word. Don't you love that word?
Hoodwinked.
They were hoodwinked. You know. I think some people were hoodwinked though with the concept of the law of attraction when it came to the book, The Secret. And I think that was interesting because The Secret made the law of attraction so important. And unfortunately, the laws of the universe are a bit more complicated than that book really set out to achieve. You know, it's a great primer, I think, for introducing people to universal laws, but they kind of fell short in their ability to teach people all they need to know. And I understand it was a small sized book and it was oversimplified and a lot of things that are, you know, you feel the universal law is meaningful, whatever. But many people get frustrated when they're trying to manifest their ideal reality. And you have to understand that the whole concept of The Secret was to manifest your destiny. And it's great to use vision boards. It's great to have these affirmations to focus on what you want. And I think that's awesome, but there's another dimension to it. I mean, it does work, but you actually have to work to achieve it. You know, the law of attraction is merely one of the 12 laws that we actually have of universal laws. And I think we talked about this the other day, because when you're trying to work with only the law of attraction, it's like trying to catch a fish without a hook, with no bait or any fishing pole. And I mean, you could jump in and hop in the water, right? You could grab the fish, but it's sure going to be easier if you had the tool to know how to work with it and respectively the interconnection parts. And that's what's so important about the other universal laws that The Secret never even talked about. Yeah. They never even said. They basically said, if you see the fish and you're there at the fishing place, you know, and the fish is there, you believe you're going to have the fish jumps in your hand, you know? And
that doesn't quite work that way.
Yeah, I mean, I agree that you have to have synchronicity of thought, but you also have to have the tools, right, to use. So what does that mean? And I think there's certain laws, for example, like the law of the divine oneness, how we are all connected. And I think that's so important because when you realize all of us are connected, right, mm-hmm. doesn't that change the way that a lot of people treat other people? You know, when you realize that everybody comes from the same source, that just because one person looks a little different than you doesn't mean that they're any better or any worse than you are. You know, I mean, it doesn't make that they're better than you. It doesn't mean that they're lesser than you. It's all equality. And when we see that, that's kind of paramount. But the law of attraction, that's neat too. That's really cool because it goes beyond wishing and hoping. But also you have to understand that there's also a law of actions and relativity and rhythm and polarity. And I think you can kind of look up a lot of this stuff online and actually get a good comprehensive idea of what that means because, you know, you have to think about what energy is. You have to think about the law of compensation and all these things go together to aid in the law of attraction because it's not just about I want it, therefore I get it. It's about I believe this is the right path for me. I'm going to believe in all these things that I honestly believe in. But on top of that, I'm going to actually fulfill actions and obligations to get to that next level.
Well, and I think that that's an area that I could definitely stand some improvement in because, well, first of all, you know how scatterbrained I am anyway. So just achieving synchronicity of thought is challenge enough, you know, to actually, okay, you know, here's what I want. And okay, now I'm going to think through the steps to go about and do it.
Well, you have ADD and yes. You have attention deficit hyper disorder, attention deficit disorder. And I think a lot of people listening tonight have attention deficit disorder and a lot of very intelligent people have attention deficit disorder. It's just the way it is. When you're highly intelligent, you have a lot of incredible thoughts going on in your head all one time and you can do many things all one time. The problem is that when you don't have this structure, guess what? Look around your house. You probably have like 5 or 6 different projects. Some are in like the beginning stages, some are half finished, and some never started, you know? I mean,
well, in my case, it's my desk. If you saw the condition of my desk, you know.
Oh, holy
hell. Of course, now somebody a long time ago told me that it's actually a good thing to have a messy desk. She had a plaque on her cubicle wall. A clean desk is a sign of a sick mind.
I think sometimes clean desk is sometimes the sign of I'm not doing anything.
Yeah, or maybe you're paying too much attention to style over substance, or too much attention on the form rather than.
Or maybe that person actually just had a really messy desk, so they decided to make a cool sign and put their little name on it as a sign. You know?
Well, yeah, that too, yeah.
That sounds like something I would do. Uh-huh. Invent the sign.
It does, yeah. It does, actually.
Everything's all good now because we're all in synchronicity. You know what I'm saying, though? But no, I think that messiness is not inherently bad, but I think when you have 9 projects and you haven't finished any of them, it doesn't make you feel good about yourself. I mean, you know, you sit there and you kind of beat up on yourself. Like, I can't ever get anything done. And I'm always going to be like
this. And
it
just feeds on itself.
Oh, yeah, because you get a little depressed, too. Well, I'm not ever going to get this done. I can't follow through with this. So, yeah, you have to really kind of understand that these things can get in your way, whether it's ADD or what have you. But a lot of times, you know, when we were able to really focus on things, maybe some meditation could help. And I think one of the best things is writing down lists. Lists really work for me. And I'm not talking about putting in your smartphone or anything like that. When you have problems focusing, you need to write it down and check it off or write the line through it when it works.
I absolutely do that. In fact, lists have saved my life.
See, it's saved my life too.
Yes. I mean,
otherwise I'd have probably the lights off. You know, I would go back to my house and the electricity would be turned off, everything. If I didn't have lists, functioning would be an issue.
Because for some reason, the act of putting pen to paper, it travels up my hand, up my arm, and into my brain, and it embeds itself in this brain. If I don't do that, then it doesn't embed itself in my brain.
Well, and also you can see it. And that's what I like, is to be able to see it. It's like painting a wall. You see instant transformation when you have a list and you're able to, you know, scratch out one of those things or add the check mark. You feel like you've achieved something. You've actually done something instead of just looking at your smartphone and going, okay, I did that. Next one. And also your smartphone's on all the time, not on all the time. You can always have a list in front of you. And that's really a successful tool for you to use to really focus on what you need to do on a daily basis, because it might seem like small, tiny things at the time, like the light bill or finishing this little project or uploading a blog or taking care of a research project for your boss or for the company. But these things are instrumental to your success. And so you really need to focus on them. You need to get them done. Even though they seem mundane, the mundane gets us to the next level. So let's also begin talking about can you succeed? Can you succeed? Are you allowed to succeed? Can you? Are you allowed to succeed? You know, Bill, if I was to ask you that, because I think a lot of people never really ask themselves and listen for an answer, because some people don't allow themselves to succeed. They're not allowed to, because it's against their philosophy, because they don't think that they're good enough.
Well, and I know we're coming up on a break, so I won't go too heavily in this, but we did a show a few weeks ago where our minds put impediments in our way. And I won't go too deeply into that, for our listeners,
mind-made limitations.
Yeah, mind-made limitations. Thank you. So, you know, if you want to know a little bit more about that, please go to ashleyburgess.com or iTunes, and you can definitely listen to the podcast on that. And it was a wonderful show. It really helped me. But anyway, just very briefly, we put limitations. Our minds, you know, so to speak, can play tricks on us. You know, they put limitations on us and put roadblocks in our way. And can you do it? Well, I think some people just they're beaten before they even start.
Some people are, and that's because they've already had these mind-made limitations that they've put into their mind. And we'll talk more about that. And yes, you can definitely go to iTunes. I'm so glad you segued to that. Just put in...
Notice how I just very smoothly put that in
there. That was very good. It was like butter. just put in perspectives. Push enter. You'll find us. It's real quick and easy and to the point. We don't make it hard for you to find us. We don't hide. We're right in the open. So stay tuned, because when Perspectives returns, we're going to discuss more of how you can create thought and continue to have the synchronicity to make your life work and achieve synchronicity in all facets of your life. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes. I can lift you up.
I can show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be. Get in here. Give us your perspective. We're listening. And you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And if you're just tuning in this evening, we've been talking about how you can achieve synchronicity in your life. You know, we've been talking about what synchronicity truly is, and that's when everything kind of culminates and comes together, right? You can talk about 2, 3, 4, 5, 1,000 events, but when everything starts coming together in your life and making what you want in your life, that's what synchronicity is, okay? And in order to have synchronicity, you have to have synchronicity of thought. And that is paramount, because if you don't think, if your thoughts aren't aligned, if you don't have structured thoughts, if you don't have a direction and a constant direction, guess what? No synchronicity for you. No synchronicity for you. No corn for you.
No soup for you.
No soup for you. out of the line, no soup. And that's true. You just can't. It's like, you know, it's like the lunch tray philosophy of life. If you don't have, like, the synchronicity of thought is one of the little, you know, plastic little doohickeys next to, like, the fruit salad. If you don't have that, you're not going to synchronicity. You're not doing it because you're fighting yourself in your head every single step of the way. So we talked about what do you want out of life? What's your dreams? Thinking about your religious, your spiritual, your philosophical alignments. Are they aligned with you? Do you believe in them, or were they just taught to you, or you just accepted them from family? You got to get over that because you got to figure out what you truly believe in.
Okay, so I have a quick question for you then.
Yeah.
Are you speaking only about just pure rational thought, or do we also have to align our emotional being, you know, our feelings and stuff? Because, you know, emotions can affect your thoughts if you allow them to.
Actually, we're not there yet, but we're about to.
Oh, did I skip ahead? I'm sorry.
But no, you're right. Emotions is part of the thinking mind, because as an emotion is, that's what's so interesting about emotions. And I'm glad we can segue real quick. I think it's a good time. Emotions usually derive from thought, right? Being because of that main reason, emotions don't come out of thin air. Okay. They don't just come out of thin air. We group thought and emotion together. And so how emotionally stable you are will considerably help or hurt your synchronicity. You know, stability in our emotions is extremely important, because when we get emotional, what do? We usually make very unwise decisions.
Yes.
We make unwise decisions. We make very, you know, just snap decisions that, you know what they normally do? We either lose out on money, we lose face, we lose time, we lose something. Yeah. And a lot of times we make those decisions based on some sort of instant emotion. And that's because our thoughts, something happened with our thoughts. We either got angry, upset, disappointed, depressed, and all that comes from something.
You know, maybe you got happy. You got too excited. You know, I mean, oh, yes, you know, now I'm going to go blow it in Vegas or whatever. I mean, with me, it's anger that usually
gets
me and causes bad things to happen. If I do or say something out of anger, then usually that it turns around to bite me.
Yeah, well, anytime we do something when it's not out of love, you know, and I know that it sounds so lofty to some people, they're like, oh, not everything's out of love. But if you do something that's not out of love, it always does bite us. It's just a karmatic thing. And it's not because it wants to hurt us. I think it's because it's just like mirroring us, you know, in a situation, and it kind of shows us. And the next thing you know, you're dealing with somebody that, you know, does something to you that's angry, and you're thinking, do I really look like that? Did that really sound like me?
Yeah.
You know, and so it's not really about them being mad at you. You're kind of like, whoa, was that like me? Did that sound like me yesterday? You know, and I think you're right, though. Emotions are so big. If we're stable in our emotions, we have stable thoughts. So let's talk about that. Let's intervene with the whole outside influences, because I think sometimes our emotions can change because of what? Outside influences. What about outside influences that help us? They help us, right? What about the outside influences that contaminate our thought process? We have those too.
Oh gosh, yes.
And what about those are influences that take you off your path, right? Or they help you stay on your path, because we all have a path. Or they reveal another path, right? Or they sidetrack you off your path. But you've allowed all these things to happen. Because we always like to say, oh, well, it was so-and-so's fault. Remember when we were kids and something bad would happen and you'd be like, oh, that was so-and-so's fault. They made me do it, Mom. They made me do all these things. Well, you know what?
And then my mother would say, well, if everybody else jumped off the Empire State Building, would you?
Oh, gosh. I think I've said that to you before.
Yes.
I think I said that to everybody in the studio. If you were supposed to jump off this big building and I told you to, would you do it? But it's true, right? I mean, so you have to think about the whole concept of allowing outside influences to influence your thoughts and your emotions. And thoughts and emotions are really equidistant, because they come from the same spot. I mean, we outwardly show emotion differently, but they come from thought, right?
Yeah.
And that's inherent. So if we're equal-minded in emotions, so how do you get stable in emotions? How do you stabilize your emotions? And I think the first thing you want to do, right, is not define yourself by your emotion. So when you get angry, when you say, I'm angry, so you're no longer Bill. You're no longer Billy Boy. You're angry now. Mr. Angry. Hey, Mr. Angry, how you doing?
Okay, yeah.
So now you define yourself
with it. It's taken over my whole being, which it does.
Yeah, and because you said, I'm angry. I'm mad. I'm depressed. I'm upset. And so all of a sudden, I'm no longer Ashley. I'm upset.
Yes.
And it is. It takes over all of you. You know, if you said, I'm Bill, or I'm feeling, or this emotion or this thought is upsetting me in a way, you know.
Yeah.
But it's also the same thing as when we say somebody else made us mad. You know, John made me mad because he did this. Well, how can John make you mad? And I think we allow people to, like I said, contaminate your thought process based on something they say. And you and I did a show on this recently about how honestly, most people, when they react to things, aren't even talking to you. They're really talking to themselves.
Yes, I remember that.
Because everybody, a lot of people are in their own world. I mean, yeah. They just are. And for everybody listening tonight, you might have 5% of the people that you talk to on a daily basis that actually care and hear what you're saying. The rest of them are emotionally making comments based on their own life. And everybody has their own perception of what you're saying, too. So what you're saying might not have anywhere near the same meaning as what you're trying to, you know, what you're trying to say. Because I could try to explain something to somebody and you the same, and that person could see something completely different.
Right.
You know, and I think that's so hyper important. You know, don't you think that happens all the time in communication where people go, oh, what? You know, what are they trying to say? But then they'll make a comment back and you'll be like, why did they say that to me?
Well, haven't you ever heard somebody say, well, you know, he was talking past me, or I was talking past him, or whatever. Haven't you ever heard that?
Oh, over their head, under their head?
Well, over the head, but also I've heard it he was talking past me.
Oh, I didn't
even. I've heard that before.
What does that mean?
Well, I think just what you just said. You weren't actually saying it to the person you're talking to.
Oh, basically talking through you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and that happens all the time. I mean, like, I've had conversations, and I know you have too, like, in the last few days, where you're talking to somebody, and literally, you don't know what planet they're on, because they respond back to you, and you have to sit there and break it down and explain, okay, no, I'm not angry with you. No, this is not the direction we're going. No, this is what I was trying to explain, and then they wrap their brain around it all of a sudden, and you know that they're still getting maybe 40% of it then. The other 60% still not going to get.
Right.
Because it doesn't have anything to do with their perception on life. They've never gone through the experience. So they can't understand where you're coming from.
Well, that happens to me most often in my romantic relationships.
Oh, we should have some romantic music play.
I know, huh? The whole men are from Mars, women are from Venus type thing.
Are they from Venus?
I think women are from like Planet X, like deep outer space or something.
Deep Space Nine.
Yeah, no joke.
Yeah, and the women male thing is interesting.
All right, now, ladies, don't flood our phone banks, you know, with calls. Okay,
we do need to have one of those. We need to have one of those shows sometime.
I know, huh?
That'd be great.
That would be a great show. Actually.
So I throw this out, and then and then we have people call, and then you throw out a comment, and what's your perception, and then what's your perspective on what I'm trying to say? That'd be hilarious. We should do that. No, but that's a big deal because the gender deal, right? Because men normally see things in a certain direction, like they're more like directional people, like, you know. Open the door, you know, unlock this, whatever, you know, and women are just like, they go directly to it. Boom. You know what I mean? Like it's in their heart more, or they just have that women's intuition or whatever it is.
You know, the best way I ever heard it put, this is by a comedian. I forget his name.
Chris Rock.
No, this is a while back, and it's a little bit sexist, but I think it's just enough to be funny. You know, basically the point being is that men are natural born hunters and women are natural born shoppers.
And that's
how the genders think, you know, because men don't go to the store to shop. Men go to hunt. You know, I'm looking for a shirt. Found it. The shirt is dead.
Hunt. Now, wild boar.
You know, and now I'm going home, you know, dragging my knuckles. Whereas women I think you've done this. I know my girlfriend does it. You know, you go to the store for one thing. You can't just pass all that other stuff by. You got to look at it.
No, it's part of life. It's right there. I mean, it's in my point of view.
Yeah. I mean, and I've told my girlfriend, I cannot go shopping with you because I will lose patience. I can't handle it.
I just can't handle it. You can't handle the truth.
That's right. I can't.
I remember Chris Rock, before we go to break, Chris Rock had one. What was it? It had nothing to do with this. It said something like, what is it? Single and lonely and married and bored. But anyway.
Yes.
When Perspectives returns, we're going to continue our exploration of synchronicity and how you can achieve it in your life. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, AB, will be back in, and we'll be back in two shakes.
You're in a good place now.
relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and entertainment, where relevant topics are discussed and where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess, live on 660 The Answer.
Yeah, he's just really excited, and he has no clue why we're here. That's very funny to me. Y'all ain't laughing, though.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And if you're just tuning in this evening, we've been discussing how to achieve synchronicity in your life. You know, what is synchronicity? We've been talking about that. What does synchronicity mean? And synchronicity is basically the culmination of a lot of awesome things happening in your life when you see everything kind of come to its fruition. And, you know, synchronicity begins with the synchronicity of thought. And in the last hour, we've been talking about, you know, understanding our thoughts, aligning our thoughts, aligning our beliefs, having a structured belief and heading in the right direction, you know, by understanding our goals, by understanding what we want out of life, by understanding our belief system, religiously, spiritually, philosophical alignment. Are those aligned? Do we believe in that? Or was that just taught to us? Do we need to go out and find what we truly believe? We got to get that together. What about universal laws? You know, about the laws of attraction as well as just the laws of unity, about how everybody's created equal and how, you know, out of respect, you know, we have to understand that everybody kind of comes from the same source. And so with that in mind, we can realize that a lot of people, they're not so different from us, you know, and I think that's inherently very important. Also, you only can succeed if you're allowed to succeed. If you believe in success and you believe that that's a possibility for you and you believe that you will be successful, then you can. But a lot of us tend to hold ourselves back. And I think that brings us to a new concept, and it's not a new concept on this show, but it's a new concept for this specific show, and it was about pre-existing mind-made limitations, right? And Bill brought this up earlier in the last hour, those limiting beliefs that we create at a young age that get in the way of our happy and healthy futures. And a lot of times we see these things that we create, they happen at a young age. They happen normally when we're very young, maybe 4, maybe 5, maybe 6, 7. And we create it, and we create these things to basically save ourselves. And the mind has this thing where the mind believes that it's kind of like our babysitter. And when something bad happens to us, we create like a form that stays in our mind, and it keeps us from having this pain again, from experiencing this pain, because it's trying to save us from pain, okay? But later on down the road, what does that do? That gets in the way of our progress, and that certainly gets in the way of synchronicity.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So if you have to avoid people because you're scared of them, or you can't show up to a certain, you know, meeting because your mind's telling you you shouldn't be there, you can't follow through with synchronicity.
And, you know, for you, Ashley, maybe you could also have synchronicity allergy-wise.
I know.
You're about to die over here.
It's I am so allergic in the studio. Oh, my gosh. It's like I'm over here. I'm like, can't breathe. It's like, I don't know why I can't breathe. And it happens every time. Every show we start, it's like I have this thing. And I remember there's a – Carl Jung had this thing when he was a kid. He got bullied, I think, because he got bullied as a child, right, in school. And he said it was his own fault. One day when he got pushed down by this kid, and it was something that he had said, and so the kid pushes him down.
Oh, good. Smart mouth.
Something, yeah. Who knows? Something happened. So he said he actually took, you know, responsibility for his actions. But after that, he went home, and every time he thought about going back to school, he would faint. He would faint. And so eventually he had to stay at home. He couldn't go to school. And everybody was kind of like, oh, is he okay? What does he have? Does he have epilepsy? And he overheard his dad telling some other people that he won't be able to take care of Carl anymore. Like, you know, he might have to go into a home or some sort.
Oh, wow.
if he doesn't get good grades or figure out what's up with school. And he got up at that point in time and was able to overcome. And he realized that that was something that his mind had created. Like, even when he tried to study, he would pass out. And so he actually had to teach himself that going to school and opening a book, you shouldn't have this response. And I think a lot of us have that response, maybe not in the format of passing out on the ground, but we have that response of aversion. You know, aversion, oh gosh, I'm going to go the other way. You know, you see something, you walk the other direction, right? And it's because we've been taught, we've taught ourselves from some situation, when I did this last time, this was not good, so I want to avoid it. But, you know, sometimes avoiding it, like in his case, had he not gone back to school and gotten the grades he gotten and gone to school, he wouldn't have been one of the most noted psychiatrists of all times. And he also was the person that came up with the law of synchronicity.
Yeah.
With the whole reasoning behind it. And I think that's very interesting because, you know, had he kept up with this neuroses, as he called it, his neuroses was passing out every time, you know, he thought about school or going to school or studying, he would have never been where he was.
Well, I mean, and I think kind of going back to what we touched on in the last hour, emotions and, you know, experiences, they can have a very deep effect on you and, you know, very deep psychological effect. And
both good and bad.
Yeah, both good and bad. And you can carry those experiences with you, you know, basically for the rest of your life so that when you come across a similar situation, it's almost as if you that incident happens like it just happened again, like right now. Like,
oh, yeah.
For example, let's say that you had a bad experience when you were a child with a mean dog. Okay. You know, maybe the dog bit you. Okay. And so, you know, I've known people that years and years and years, like decades later,
are afraid of dogs.
Yeah. They're afraid of dogs. And let's say they're just walking down the street and, you know, dog starts barking. The physical response, you know, the terror in their eyes,
the jumping back,
you know, the shaking, whatever. It's almost as if it just happened again.
Yeah, they just hear it's just like Pavlov's response. It's like boom, you know, cue the dog, you know,
right.
Bark, bark, and they're like, oh my god, you know,
right.
Oh my gosh, and you're like, what's wrong? And they're like, oh, I'm so scared of dogs, you know.
Right.
When I was a kid, I was bit, and you know, I just can't ever get over it, you know.
Yeah.
And it's the same as like when people try to, you know, if they flew on a plane one time and some bad experience, or they got stuck in an elevator. You know, an elevator stopped working, and for 5 hours, I got stuck in an elevator.
Oh, I know a person who actually used to work at the radio station, and you know, here, and she used to have a show, and she would not get on the elevator. She was terrified of elevators. So she would make me walk 5 steps up the building, and
five floors,
and open the emergency exit so that she could walk up.
That's like John Madden, you know, he doesn't fly.
Right, yeah.
He takes a Madden Cruiser.
The bus, yeah.
I mean, and you're right. And these things, but see, these things get in our way, okay?
Yeah.
And I hate to say it, but you have to think about it. If synchronicity, if you're supposed to meet somebody, I doubt that person's hanging out in the fire escape, okay? You know,
right.
They're probably taking the elevator like most people do. And, you know, maybe things are supposed to happen. I believe that synchronicity is just the way things are supposed to happen. But if you take yourself out of the flow, and out of the flow means you're taking yourself out of what works, you're making it more difficult for yourself, you're putting more work on it.
Mm-hmm.
And for you to have to go up there and do that, and for her to come up the side of the building like that, I mean, God bless her, but those are things that you want to work on in life, because
sure,
those are the things that take us out of the loop. Those are the things that take us away from where we need to be at. And those are what pre-existing mind-made limitations. And a lot of times they come in the form of that, or they come in the form of, I'm not good enough. I'm never going to succeed. Nothing's ever going to work for me. And everything I ever have to do in my life, I have to fight for it. And those are self-limitating behaviors because, gosh, those make life real hard. And when those are stuck in your mind, when they're stuck in your mind, synchronicity of thought is not an option. Because, you know, the way, let's say, like, for example, if mine is, I have to fight for everything I've ever gotten. So everything I ever get in life, I have to fight for. Because, you know what, I've told myself, I have to fight for everything. There's no other way I'm going to get it. So everything from then on out, if I really truly believe that, is going to be a complete fight.
And I've seen people like that, and they actually have a physical reaction. Like, I've seen people who, like, they bow up. You know, they mm-hmm. square their shoulders, they get that, you know, fight or flight response on their face, and I actually saw a guy one time, and he balled his fists up.
Yeah, and because he's ready to fight, because it's the only way he gets anything
in
life.
Yeah, I mean, we were just having a discussion about, you know, allocating some resources, and, you know, I wasn't just, you know, giving in to him. You know, because I had my own department, you know, to
yeah, so he was basically going to fight you.
I mean, he was ready to fight. And, you know, so, yeah, I mean, it's a visceral response.
And that's what's so scary. I mean, and that's the thing is that if you believe you have to fight for everything, everything's a battle, everything's going to be a battle. Okay. And last, before we go to break, let's talk about self-doubt. And I like to call self-doubt is the silent killer, or it's a loud killer, and it depends on the voices in your head. You know, Bill, it's not the voices in my head that scare me. It's the voices in yours.
Well, how can you tell them all apart? There's so many.
Some of them even have the same dialect.
I mean,
one doesn't speak English though, and he's not speaking any other language. I think it might be like Pig Latin,
or speaking in tongues, you know,
in a combination of some sort of like middle.
So you're trying to say I'm demonically possessed, you know? And
not demonically possessed. No, but I'm saying like some of us have the self doubt, and all of us to a degree have self doubt. Now whether it's really loud or whether it's soft. When it's really loud, we hear it. Like, you know, I'm a numbnut. So I'm this, I'm that. I'm never going to be good enough. When it's soft, what happens is we react from that position. We just don't hear it anymore. So when somebody says, hey, you got a promotion, you're like, oh, so you fired me. Okay, so this is it, you know? I mean, or anything that comes your way, you're going to think, okay, there must be a side thing here.
Yeah, it must be a catch.
Yeah, I'm going to lose somewhere because I always lose, you know?
You know, and I jokingly do this, but I guess I'm coming from it from a serious point of view, I guess. I always joke to people, you know, the good thing about being a pessimist is you're never disappointed.
Oh, my.
And I mean that as a joke.
Yeah, but if you live that way, woo! Yeah, you're never disappointed, but you're never happy.
You know, I'll talk about that when we come back from break, though.
You're not happy at all. So when we return, we're going to be talking more about synchronicity of action and how you can stabilize your thoughts. You can make it all work in your head. You can make it work in your emotion. But if you're not doing it, you're not doing it. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. A glass of perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And if you're just tuning in tonight, and I hope you're not, we've been discussing and exploring how you can achieve synchronicity in your life. You know, we talked about what synchronicity is, how that actually happens, and the meaning of having actual synchronicity of thought. Your thoughts have to be aligned, you're structured, you have to be heading in the same direction, in the right direction, and that's really awesome, because if you know what you want and you know what you want out of life and you understand like parameters and philosophical, religious, spiritual dynamic, and you have that kind of centered and you understand what you believe in and you act from that, as well as you believe you can succeed, you know you can. Because we all have these mind-made limitations that get in our way sometimes, and these limitations can create and make us think, okay, I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough, I'm never going to amount to anything, this is never going to happen for me, or like we talked about right before break, I'm going to have to fight for everything I ever get, okay? Everything I have to get, I've always had to fight for, and it seems like everything in my life I have to fight for, so guess what happens? You have to fight for absolutely everything in your life.
Yeah, and, you know, just it just comes around. You know, something I briefly touched on before we went to break, you know, Ashley, I am a firm believer in Murphy's Law.
Oh, goodness.
You know, and, you know.
Oh, here we go,
So some Irish dude named Murphy, you know, a long time ago, and he's a very wise man as far as I'm concerned.
After
okay?
30 beers, some Irish man named Murphy came up with something bad's going to happen. You know, because after 30 beers, all bad things are going to happen.
Well.
You're going to fall down, you're going to hurt yourself.
Well, he's an Irish guy, so 30 beers, he's just feeling a buzz, okay? No cards and letters from all the Irish people, okay? It's just a joke. But anyway,
we're not advocating alcohol abuse either.
And we're not advocating that. But if it can go wrong, it will. And so I was a Boy Scout.
Sponsor this. I am not sponsoring this argument whatsoever.
No, but I firmly believe it, because I mean, even here when we're producing our radio show, you know, I mean, in the past a month or so, you know, I mean, what unintended things, you know, went wrong, you know, that
everything,
we didn't plan on.
Things but, always happen. But the thing is that in life, if you think, okay, this bad thing's going to happen, guess what? It's going to happen.
Well, no, I don't think that it is going to happen. I want to be prepared in case something happens. So, you know, I always drive people crazy.
I know you've done that to me a thousand times.
I've done it to everybody. You know, somebody will explain to me, okay, here's what we're going to do. This such and such is going to happen. And I'm always the jerk in the room who says, okay, what if this, you know, this bad thing happens? Or what if this doesn't work? What's our backup plan? What are we going to do? And people always look at me like, geez, Bill, it's not, everything's going to be fine. It's not going to work. And what happens? More
you willed
than not,
it to happen.
That bad thing happened.
You willed it to happen.
And then I'm even more of a jerk. I told you so.
You willed it to happen, and then you gloated about it happening. No, I mean, I agree about accounting for the fact that things might happen out of the realm of possibility. And I do agree that you have to be prepared for things. You know, like the water heater might not have broken, but in case it does, what you do if it breaks. But I think some people, though, go to the extreme and sit there and stress and ponder, for example, the water heater breaking all the time. They go out of town. What if the water heater breaks? Oh my God, it's going to break. It's going to break. What happens if it does? I'm not going to be there. My house is going to get flooded. This is going to be awful. I don't know what to do. My insurance, my deductible is so high, and I don't know if I'm going to do this and all that stuff. And that's a one of a kind rug. And you start getting out to that whole point where your house is already flooded and you're only away from the house for 5 minutes. And then you go, I think I left the stove on. Oh my gosh, baby. I mean, and that's the thing about Murphy's Law is that I think sometimes it creates not only like stress, but anxiety within somebody's mind to always think about the worst possible conditions and how to take care of it.
Well, and in my case, I think I'm guilty a lot of times of overanalyzing things.
And taking it to that next level. And,
yeah, so it's like I you know, I'm a Gemini, and I'm not particularly...
Give a bad name to Geminis.
Well, now. Yeah, thanks a lot, Ashley. Of course, in my case, it's more like 8 or 9 different, you know...
It's all those voices.
Instead of twins, but...
And that one voice has got the same voice as the other one.
Yeah, and didn't even speak English. But anyway, you know, I just have this curse.
No English.
Either the ability or the curse to see both sides of most issues. And so I end up trying to look, you know, whatever issue I'm looking at, I look at it, you know, from the front, from the back, you know, turn it upside down, you know. And so I want to, you know what the possibilities are going to be.
I was 7th in the nation in debate, okay? And yeah. So I know a lot about seeing things from various sides and looking at it like from a Rubik's Cube side. But at the same point in time, I think that when you look at your life that way, I think you need to focus on the thing you want, because when you're focusing on all these other options, your energy is dwindling off on all these other paths. And I think that if you realize that the path is going to maybe have some problems here and there, but in actuality, if you continue to stay the course, I really think that when we start thinking about all the things that can happen, it just really takes you off course, because it makes it where you can't act. You can't move.
I was just about to say,
like, where do I do now?
It paralyzes me.
Yeah, I'm being held down. I can't do anything because I'm scared. What if I do the wrong thing? What if I was supposed to do that and I didn't do that? And so I think you get just paralyzed. And I think you have to really focus. And like, you know how people say, keep your eye on the prize?
Yeah.
Keep your eye. Or when people always say, good eye, you know, like in softball, baseball, when you hear people talk about that, you know, it's all about what you're looking at. What are you thinking about? What are you looking at? What is your perspective of your life? And I think when we start going off on the side and the parameters and up and down and all around, that's where you are. You don't have synchronicity of thought. You know, but I mean, it's cool for devil's advocate, and it's cool if you're in a debating situation, but is it really cool to live by?
Probably not. Although, like I said earlier, the one good thing about being a pessimist is you're never disappointed.
Wow. I'll get some Kleenex. I'm going to get some Kleenex. I'm going to get a carton. Not a carton. What is it? A carton? What's a carton?
You know, where you get a box of Kleenex.
A box. Well, a big carton, like 18 boxes.
Oh, okay. Like from Sam's. Okay,
yeah. Gotcha. I'm going to get some of that because we might need it. We're going to just be crying over here. And we're going to be crying on our beer because we're Irish, because we like this Murphy's Law
guy. That's right. You know, a toast to Murphy, a great Irishman.
Oh, my goodness. We'll be toasting to him day and night. So we talked about the self-doubt, right? Even though about the silent killer, the loud killer, and the pre-existing limitations. So let's get out of our thoughts right now. Get out of the thoughts.
Empty your mind.
Allow yourself to exit your mind now.
The force we will use now.
The force. Yeah, it's about action. I think synchronicity of thought and having your thoughts in line and structured is awesome. And I think that's great. But we have to head in the same direction with our actions. So synchronicity of actions. And you can think something and you can believe in something. And even if you know something, you know it to be true. You know this to be true. You know this to be the right path. But when you do the opposite or you put yourself in jeopardy, you will go against all the structure that you've actually built. So first off, to be able to take synchronicity of mind, what do you have to do? You know what the first thing is?
What's that?
Do. You got to do. It's like that. It's not. I don't like to say the Nike, just do it. But you got to do. Like, you can't be paralyzed. You can't sit there and say, oh God, and what's my next step? Oh God, oh no. What if I make the wrong choice? And then you just sit there going, I'm going to do nothing. I'm going to wait for my mind to tell me what I should do next.
You're totally channeling Yoda today. Do not. There is no try. But no, I actually that really hits home for me. My problem is I don't know where to start. I can't get started. Now, once I do, then, you know, there's no stopping me. You know, once I get rolling, then I will accomplish.
It's like a
anything.
Rolling stone.
It's the getting started part that for me is always, you know, it interrupts my synchronicity between thought and action. Is there that you know where one ends and the other begins? There's probably not even a firm dividing line, is there? It kind of merges together.
Well, it's kind of like lighting the fire under your ass, right?
That's exactly it. And for some reason I have trouble starting something, but once I do, then I'm cool.
Once you do, you're in it to win it,
right?
Yeah, and I think getting there, and I think a lot of times reasons why people have problems starting things is because they look from all perspectives, they look at all sides. What if this happens? What if that happens? By the way, Bill is raising his hand. Unfortunately, we are not on TV yet, but he is raising his hand. I think you raised your left hand or right hand.
My right hand.
Yeah. So you have to do it, and you have to just do it. And if you have this honest belief in your mind and you have this thought that's aligned, just do it. I mean, because otherwise, if you don't do it, guess what? You're going against your belief. So you're saying, I believe I can do this, but yet I'm not going to do it because I really don't believe I can do it. So, I mean, if you believe in something, you got to follow through with it. And I think a lot of times you have to just take that leap. There's like a leap. It's almost like jumping into the pool. You know the water's probably going to be cold. You know you're going to shiver a little bit, but you got to do it. You got to do it. And I think once you jump in one time, the second time might be rough. But after that, it's just like, you know, peas and carrots. You know, it's like riding a bike again. I think that's how it is. But you have to actually do it. And it shows you that you actually can do it. And I think that's what's so important. You know, when we come back, we're going to get more into the synchronicity of action and how that can really bond with your synchronicity of thought and create this awesome life that you've been wanting. And that's what's so awesome about this show tonight. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess on 660 The Answer.
The galaxy is here!
What do you mean here?
Galaxies, hundreds of millions of stars and planets. How's it here?
You humans, when are you going to learn that size doesn't matter? Just because something's important doesn't mean it's not very, very small.
How small?
Tiny, like the size of a marble or a jewel. Now, if you'll excuse me, I got to be warped before my flight.
All right, get out of here.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's show, we've been discussing how you can achieve synchronicity in your life. And I hope you're just not now turning in. That was a double negative, but I hope you are not just now turning in, because we've been talking a lot about how you can actually synchronize your thoughts to create synchronicity in your life. And that was by understanding your direction, about believing in certain aspects, about knowing your belief, about understanding that you can succeed, about eliminating outside influences, getting rid of that self-doubt, and honestly being able to stabilize and understand your emotions.
And punching Murphy in his mouth.
And yeah, doggone it, Murphy, Murphy's on timeout with me, okay? Murphy's on timeout.
He's away, okay.
You turn around in the corner, you're in timeout. So, you know, if you think about synchronizing a thought and you think about synchronizing your thought, what about aligning and synchronizing your actions? Because you can think something all the time, you can believe something, but if you actually don't follow it through with action, then it doesn't really mean anything. So right before break, we were talking about how to actually synchronize up with action. And I think that starts with doing it. You have to do something. You can't just sit there and wait it out, or you can't be paralyzed from doing something, because that basically tells your body and it tells you, hey, I don't really believe I can do this. And I don't really believe that I am going to be successful. So I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to stay here in my bathrobe and cry, because you know what? Nothing's ever going to be good in my life. I've had to fight for everything anyway. So you know what? I'm not going to do it. But if you really believe you can and not doing it, that's like a double whammy.
Right.
That sucks. I mean, that's just bad. It's like running on a treadmill, but like you don't lose any weight and you gain weight. You know, that's just basically my conception of it.
That's an insult to injury right there.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, I'm going to run on this treadmill all day, but then I'm going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger while I do it. And so it's like trying to reverse like miles off your car, but they just don't go off, you know?
Right.
So I think the next thing about doing it is awesome, but what about follow through?
Okay.
Oh, the big follow through, right. The big FT, you know, right. Because when you don't follow through with something, why did you even start it in the first place? You know, oh, I really want to do this. And you get the equipment together and you get it all over there. You do all this stuff. And then all of a sudden, like somebody calls you and they're supposed to show up and you just don't take the call. You let it go to voicemail. And then Couple days later, you don't get around to it, and guess what? It all falls apart.
Yeah.
Because synchronicity was there. Everybody was there. You were working towards something that you were on the right path with, but instead of making that last meeting or making that meeting, you just blew it off. And so it's like starting all over again.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that if you don't follow through and, take the next step, I mean, it's one thing to start, but you got to take the step number two, step number three, or whatever. And otherwise, I mean, you've just wasted all that stress, all that time, in trying to synchronize your thoughts and plan a course of action. And then you got started. Well, you might as well see it through.
Oh, yeah, because otherwise, what are you going to say? Well, yeah, it never really came to fruition because I never sent that email out.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, I went to the 4 interviews, but then the last interview, I just blew it off, really, it's like, at what point in time does your life mean anything? I mean, it's like, just do it. Do what you need to do. Follow through. And I think that is really important because you have to put yourself out there. And I think that's the next thing is that how do you put yourself out there? I mean, and I think that you have to do that by understanding that you're just as good as anybody else. And I think sometimes we don't put ourselves out there because we think, oh, there's going to be somebody better than us. Or, everything I've ever done, there's probably somebody that's done it better. Or I don't want to put myself out there for somebody to, call me out or tell me I'm not good. And I think that's another thing that people get scared about.
Well, yeah. And because I think, again, kind of going back to what I was saying, if you kind of expecting the worst to happen, then it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. So, I might as well not even bother because he's not going to call me back, or they're just going to say no, and I love her to death, but my mom is the world champion it's like I said, some people are good at not just excuses, but making an excuse for the reason why they have excuses, and she's the world champion at, I'll say, Mom, she'll call me and she'll say, I don't know what to do about this. I'll say, well, Mom, how about doing this and this? No, that won't work because of ABC. Okay, well, Mom, how about calling this person? No, they're just going to say no, and it's frustrating to talk to her sometimes.
Well, because the sad thing about it is, by her thinking and subconsciously or actually consciously saying they're going to say no, they're going to say no.
Yeah.
Or you don't even know because she's never going to ask.
Right.
And she's going to know in her heart of hearts they're going to say no. And if they do say yes and she actually calls them up, guess what? They're going to wonder why they said yes because she's going to be like, really? Oh, I thought you were going to say no.
She actually talked. I actually was witness because I was a ride. Her car wasn't working at the time. So I actually took her to a job interview. She talked herself out of a job one time. This is back when she was a teacher. And she interviewed for this for a private school, and she filled out the application. And there was one part about it: "What, are you a smoker?" Because maybe they didn't want smoking in the building or whatever. So she fills out the application, turns it in, and then to the hiring manager, points to it. See, look here, I checked. I was a smoker. That's going to be a problem, isn't it?
Oh my gosh, that's going to be a problem, isn't it?
And this is before she even got interviewed for the job, and she talked herself out of it. And
when she said this is going to be a problem, isn't it? The problem with that is that he would actually have to argue with her and say, no, it's not a problem, which it's really hard to do that because people want to go with what you say. So if you say this is going to be a problem, they're going to be like, yeah, that's going to be a problem.
And by the way, if you're listening, Mom, I love you. You know that. And I'm not trying to pick on you or anything, but we got out to the car and I just lit into her.
I would have too, and I would have had a cigarette as well.
Yeah, no joke. Well, she and Mom definitely did. She
smokes the pack at 5 at one time. Yeah, I can't believe I just did that.
My mom's a chain smoker. Yeah.
Yeah, but see, that's the problem is that you basically made your own future there. Yeah. I mean, you didn't even have to say anything.
And sure enough, she never heard back from them.
Oh, well, no, because it was a problem.
Yeah.
She said it was a problem. I don't even know why she filled out the application. She should have just gone up there and said, yeah, hey, I'm not worthy of being here. I got to go. Yep. I mean, it's not my place. And it happens to a lot of us. I think we've all done that where we're in a mode where we're not thinking. We're stuck in our mind and we're thinking, oh, everything's bad. This isn't going to work out. And you end up doing something like that. And I think we've all done something like that before. I've done that before years ago and I'd come out of it. I'd be like, oh my God, what was I doing?
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe I just did that.
Yeah.
And I think the next thing you want to do, like it goes right up to that story about your mom, is you have to display that you actually believe in yourself. You know, you actually have to show that you believe in yourself with other people. I mean, by doing that, you know, whatever. I mean, I think you have to sit there and say, hey, I'm a good person, not just by what you say, by showing other people. I believe in myself. I take care of myself. I do this. I know that I can do this. I mean, if I went around everywhere, you know, showing everybody, well, you know, I'm barely holding on, you know, life's just really hard.
Yeah. And again, you know, this is kind of referring back to a previous show that we did just within the last couple of weeks, you know, the energy suckers. And those people tend to be low self-esteem, and, you know, they're not, I don't believe I'm a good person. I can never do anything right, and nothing good is ever going to happen for me. And they're the kind of people where if you ask them, you know, hey, how's your day? You know, and you're just being polite, you know, you're just greeting somebody. Hey, how are you? Well, they're going to tell you, and it's never a happy story. I've referred back to, my favorite coworker. You know, back in the insurance business, you know who I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've mentioned this person several times on this program, and obviously she made this a deep impression on me, because going on 10, 15 years later now, it's like I still, you know, think
God bless
about
her for making that impression, though. God
yeah,
bless her.
I mean, I learned so much, actually, from interacting with this woman, because I learned what not to do.
It's like dealing with
and
a petri
how not
dish.
To be. Yeah. And it's like, it's, you know, she had excuses for the reason why she had excuses. So, you know, and I would try to coach her and you know, help her out. And nothing was ever good enough. And, you know, she had reasons for why she could never do any of the things that I suggested to her.
And that's the problem, is that people make excuses.
Yeah.
And if you can have excuses for anything, that's fine. If you want to live your life that way, that's fine too. I mean, but there's never going to be synchronicity. You're never going to achieve what you want to, because you haven't taken control of your own life.
It's like Daniel's son, you will never have balance.
Yeah, you have to, you control your own life. Nobody controls you. Yeah. Nobody can make you mad. You know, you are not a certain, I'm not depressed. My name is Ashley. So it's like when you define yourself by a certain emotion, or when you allow other people to define your emotion, but also when you let other people tell you who you are. And it's like you have to step up to the plate and say, hey, I'm great, I'm good enough, and I'm going to do this. And you got to also show up. And I think showing up is the most important thing. When somebody gets married, both people have to show up, okay? You got to show up. You can't just sit there and email in and go, oh, I'm in.
Although,
I'm all good. I'll meet you in Vegas. I'll see you there.
From
We're
a sarcastic
good.
Standpoint, I'm sure they're working on an app on that where you can just do it remotely. But yes, for right now anyway, yeah, both
for people
still
actually
have to
want
to
get
altar.
Married.
Yeah.
That actually know each other. They didn't meet on the internet. It wasn't just some like, you know, automatic bot that put them together.
Right.
But no, it's like you have to show up, and you got to show up for your own life. So when we return, we're going to be talking more about showing up, how you can do the best you can, and how you don't need to follow the crowd, because guess what? The crowd, it doesn't mean that you're synchronized. You want to stay in the flow. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in, we'll be back in two shakes.
I can lift you up. I can show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be.
Get in here. Give us your perspective. We're listening. And you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And you know, on tonight's show, we've been exploring how you can achieve synchronicity in your life. And earlier in the hour, we talked about synchronicity of thought, and how you can create synchronicity of thought and directly have synchronicity in your life in all aspects. But just as important as thought is synchronicity of action. And how do you do that? You have to do things. You got to follow through. You got to put yourself out there, right? You got to display that you actually believe in yourself. And, you know, that's so important, because a lot of times we know we can do it. We believe in the process. You know, we even get the uniform. We sign up for the league. We do everything. And then all of a sudden, day one, the first game, and you're like, you know, my head hurts. Yeah, I feel like I ate something bad. And, you know, I'm just not going to go. You know what? I'll go next time, though. I'm going to make it next time. And then the next time comes around, and guess what? You're not there. And that's the thing, is that you got to actually follow through and do it. You can believe all kinds of things in your head, but if you don't do it, you got nothing.
You know, it reminds me of a story about one of my favorite rock bands of all time. And this is back in the 80s. Yes, I'm dating myself. But
80s rock band.
You know, love it. And anyway, the guitarist, the lead guitarist, was the one who kept pushing his band members, look, if we're not going to play a gig, I'm leaving. You know, I mean, you know, we got to, you know, actually start playing. So finally, that, you know, they're ready to play their first gig. And what does he do? He tries to break his own finger so he wouldn't have to go on stage. He had stage fright. So, you know, he tries to break his own finger so he won't go on stage.
Ow!
You know? Now, once he actually did it, then he was fine. You know, it's
with
just
broken fingers
one.
Or not broken fingers?
No, he wasn't successful. According to the book, I won't mention the man's name, but according to the book, he like tried to like break his fingers on the sink.
Who was it?
It was Steve Clark from Def Leppard.
Oh my!
And of course, he's a guitarist that later on he literally drank himself to death. He died of alcohol poisoning.
God bless him. He was so scared of being out there.
I mean, one of those torture genius type guys.
And it's those self limiting behaviors, because something obviously happened to him when he did something publicly, whether it's speaking in front of people, maybe in class or doing something. And ever since then, he had to actually take something or do something or take a drug or drink to get over the fact that he was scared of being.
Oh,
in public.
He definitely had to self medicate.
And he self medicated obviously a lot. To the point where he killed himself. And that's an interesting concept because, if you believe that you're not good and you're too scared and you're willing to actually break your own fingers over this, you need to start thinking, I don't think my thoughts are synchronized, because at that point in time, it's not working. It's not connected. If I put my hand up, it's not going to actually raise. I can think in my head that I'm raising my left hand, but if I'm not actually raising my left hand, then it's just all in my head.
Right.
And, so you have to show up. And even if you show up, you got to do the best you can. You can't just show up and be like, I'm here. I mean, I'm just going to sit down here and I'm just going to, pontificate. No, you got to do the best you can. And I think that transpires to your self-belief, because if you do the best you can, hey, you might not win every time. It might not work every time, but you know that you did the best. You can't sit there and say, wow, I screwed that up royally. No, you can say, hey, I did the best I could. And I believe in what I did, or I'm going to learn from the mistakes that I made,
right,
and I'm going to be better this next time.
Well, yeah, and I think something that I've done a good job on in the past, say, 10 or 15 years in my own life is that if it doesn't work out, or let's say that you come up short, or that you fail, or someone, you try to make the sale and the person, says no after everything that you've tried to do, whatever the situation is, you can't take it personally. It's not a personal rejection.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean, people always say, oh, it was about me. Well, no, it wasn't about you. If you're trying to sell, let's just say if we're trying to sell ad time or, our spot time or our spot load on our show, right?
Right.
And if somebody says no to you, it's not about that. It's just, they might not have the budget to do it.
Right. Or
they're already doing other shows.
Exactly. So it's very possible to do everything right and still not achieve that particular goal at this particular time.
And just sidebar, if you're interested in advertising on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess, just get in touch with us on ashleyburgess.com. There's a form you can fill out, and we will be happy to send you our media kit.
How do we spell Burgess?
They should know by now. B-E-R-G-E-S, and if you don't, you can put it in any way, shape, and form, and you're still going to find me on Google. But,
excellent.
So let's go on from there. You don't want to go against what you know. Okay, so don't go against what you inherently know, right? So if I know something to be the truth, and I go against it by doing something or involving myself or getting out of the flow, then I'm fighting myself. Then I have an internal fight, right? I have internal fight. So it doesn't really matter what else is going on around me. I'm fighting myself. So if I'm in a bar fight, right, and somebody comes up and hits me, that's one thing. You can defend yourself against one person. But if you're defending yourself against that person, but also you're having an internal fight, you're hitting yourself while you're trying to hit them. And you know what? That doesn't really work. It just doesn't work, because you got one. You're already hitting yourself probably with the one hand that you actually use most. So your writing hand, you're hitting yourself upside the head, and you got your left hand out there, your right hand out there trying to hit the other person. It's not going to work.
It's like how I used to pick on my little brother when we were kids. Stop hitting yourself, Glenn. Stop hitting yourself.
Stop hitting yourself.
you
hold their head. You hold the top of their head.
Oh,
out.
Yeah, and hold him out so he'd swing, but he couldn't hit me.
And you're like, close.
He'd get mad at me when I did that. But anyway, goodness, violent metaphors today. I mean, you're just kind of in a fighting mood today.
Yeah. I had to fight for everything. Fight for everything, I tell you. No, that's true. But also, you don't want to follow the crowd, okay? And I think that's so important, because I think a lot of times nowadays people say, okay, wow, I feel like I'm out here alone. I feel like I'm doing this on my own. There's not a lot of people doing this. And I think that's when you kind of know that you're onto something. I think when you try to follow the crowd, it's just, what are you going to get?
Which I think maybe a clarification in order there, Ashley. It's not that it's okay to take a role model or to emulate certain aspects.
But that's not following the crowd.
But that's not, I mean, I think, at least it sounds to me what you're trying to say is, don't lose yourself in someone or something or whatever else. you know, you're still your own person, and you're the one that has to actually take the actions to achieve your goals.
There was a dream I had. That's good. I like that. There was a dream I had years ago, and I was running a race, and everybody else was running the opposite direction. And as I'm running the race and I'm going around people and it's crazy, and it got to this point where I kept going, and about four or five people turned around and started running the direction I was running. And lo and behold, I ran the right way.
Yeah.
Okay, because my dream, it all worked out. Everybody else was going the direction they thought they had to, but they were going the wrong way. Just because it seems that that's the right direction to go because everybody seems to be going that way doesn't necessarily mean it's true.
Now, you this wasn't like real life where you got on the wrong ramp on the North Central Expressway.
And I just haul butt all the way through at 80 miles an hour. Just going down the side lane. Just going down. Woo! Yeah, just swerving through cars. It was like Frogger, but it was real.
It sounds like something that you would do. You know,
it's like, beep, 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 get out of the way.
You're late to a meeting, you know, so just get on whichever ramp comes
up. I'd be like Chevy Chase or something. I'd be like Fletch or something like that.
I know,
I had the music in the background from like Axel L or Axel, what was that song? But,
by the way, a movie I never saw.
Oh my gosh, another movie. Wow, we're like 0 for 5 today. This is great. No, but seriously, don't follow the crowd all the time because they might not always know where they're going to. It's just like when there's like a diversion of traffic, right? And so you have those few people that take, I'm going to take this right. I'm going to drive through this driveway or this parking lot. Just kind of cognitively figure out where you think you should go. You know, following them, you might go to a dead end. Okay. Following them, you could go the right way, but also you could get stuck in a lot of traffic.
Sure.
So start figuring out what you think is right. Build up your own belief, and that will help you with your synchronicity, because it's not about being synchronicity for their life. It's not about following what they want to do or their goals or whatever. It's about what you want to do. And then you want to treat your body, right, with respect, and you want to eat well, and you want to get some sleep. I recently had a friend of mine last week have a stroke.
Oh, no.
At the age of 41, he had a stroke.
Ew.
And that is awful. 41 years old to have a stroke. And, you know, he works two jobs. So, yes, he works 16 hours. And a lot of us work long days. And I can validate, I work a lot. And I know Bill works
Boy,
a lot.
Boy, you do, yeah.
And so, but I do take care of myself as far as I eat well, and I exercise, and I get sleep. And I think that you have to take care of your body. And I know it sounds stupid, and people go, oh, like a temple. It's got to be like a temple. Well, yeah, you need to take care of it, because if you don't take care of your body, you're not going to be able to do any of this anyway. I mean, if you're over there like barely getting by because you got all these health conditions and you're not taking care of yourself and you're stopping off at whatever fast food restaurant every time you need to eat, and you're eating fried food all the time, and you're just drinking as much soda pop as possible, none of that's going to help. And it's going to, and you only have a finite time here. You might as well be as healthy as possible. I mean, like having a walker and oxygen tank and all that stuff, it doesn't make me go, oh yeah, this is great. It sounds like fun. Right. You know, I can't wait. Yeah. I like the idea of not being able to breathe on my own, you know? So let's think about this. Synchronicity. I think that you can live your true life with synchronicity by having synchronicity of thought and synchronicity of action. And when those two things are actually pulled together, right, what do you get? You get thought, you get mind, you get an outcome that you want. You fulfill your dream and goals, but guess what? You have a beautiful life, and you attain what you want because everything just kind of falls up into place. It's like a puzzle. You don't know exactly what's going to happen, but you actually are in charge. And it's not other people pushing on you. It's not other people trying to get you out of the flow. You got to realize that you have the power. You can choose what you want to do, and you can make it happen. So next week, we got a great show for you. If you want to check out any past shows, just go to iTunes. You can go to the podcast, go to Perspectives, enter, you'll find us, or go to AshleyBurgess.com. You'll find us there, or LiveYourTrueLife.com, all of which have all our post shows and all the best of the best of the best. So stay tuned. Because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, we'll be back in 3 shakes.